Today's daf is Shabbos daf Ayin Ches. We are holding on daf Ayin Zayin and Beis at the bottom. In today's daf, we're going to continue our discussion of the shiurim of different items that one would be chayiv for carrying the various items. We're going to try to figure out when it comes to the liquids how we determined what the usage of the liquid that will determine the shiur is. Meaning, one time we'll talk about how much of is the minimum amount that a person would drink for a kosher bracha, and then we'll talk about how much a person will use for medication. What if there's a liquid that has multiple uses? Do we follow its medication use, its use for drinking, its use for other things? So that's going to be a good chunk of Amud Aleph. Then we'll discuss whether the shiur is different if someone is matzniya versus someone who doesn't put something away, someone who just treats it normally but wouldn't put something away. And then we're going to have a Mishnah going beyond liquids, discussing shiurim for a variety of household items, rope and cotton and paper and things like that. And that's going to lead us through Amud Beis about the size of paper and if a person's carrying receipts, how much he's chayef for something like that. Okay, so we left off on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis at the bottom, about six lines from the bottom of the page. Shemen kedei lasuch ever katan. We said, how much oil is one chayef for carrying on Shabbos? The amount he needs to anoint a small limb. So Amri Dver Rabbi Yanai, Shemen kedei lasuch ever katan shel katan ben yomo. So Dver Rabbi Yanai says, what does it mean, a small limb? It means if you take the smallest person and take the smallest limb of the smallest person, smallest person being an infant, a one-day-old baby, the amount that you would need to anoint with oil a small limb of the smallest baby, so of a one-day-old baby. So meisvei shemen kedei lasuch ever katan vikatan ben yomo. So, but with the Brisa says that you need the amount of oil that you chayev for carrying is either the amount that takes to anoint an ever katan or a katan ben yomo. So my lav ever katan de gadol. The aver gadol shall katan ben yomo. So doesn't it mean to say it's either or? Either we're talking about a small limb of an adult, of a regular sized person, or we're talking about a large limb of a baby, of a child. But not to go so far as to say such a chumrah that even if you carry enough oil out, that's just enough to anoint a small limb of a baby, that would be chayiv. So what's the Bei Rabbi Yanai going to do with that? So Amil Chad Bei Rabbi Yanai, the Bei Rabbi Yanai would answer, lo, hachika amar. This is what the Brisa means to say. Shemen kedei lasuch ever katan, shel katan ben yamo. It's not telling one or the other that it's either ever katan or katan ben yamo. It's saying the ever katan of a katan ben yamo. That's the shir. So says Gemara Lema Ketanayim. Maybe this is all a machlokas Tanayim. Shemen kedei lasuch ever katan v'katan ben yomo. Divrei Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Nassan Omer kedei lasuch ever katan. So no one's particularly clear about what they mean, but Reb Shimon ben Elazar says that it's the amount of oil they use to anoint an ever katan and a baby. And Reb Shimon ben Elazar, that's Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Nassan says the amount they use for ever katan. So what are they arguing about? They sound like they're saying pretty much the same thing. So my lav b'hakam iflagi. So it sounds like they're arguing about our issue. Reb Shimon ben Elazar savar ever katan shel katan. Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, how much oil is it that you're going to be chayav for carrying? The amount that you would use to anoint an ever katan of a katan, of a baby. Rabbi Nassan Savar, ever katan de gadol. Oh, ever gadol de katan. It's either the small limb of an adult or a large limb of a baby. Aval ever katan shal katan ben yamo, lo. But ever katan of a katan ben yamo, a small limb of a baby, that you would not be chayev for. So you see that it's a machlokas tanayim, whether you're what the shear is that you're chayev for. Is it an ever katan de gadol or an ever katan de katan ben yamo? So it says more lo. The kuli alma ever katan de katan ben yamo, lo. The lesa drabi anai. The truth is that maybe both shitos in Tanaim would hold that a small limb of a baby would not be enough to be chayav for. No one holds of the shita of Debei Rabbi Yanai that we started with, that it's even ever katan of a baby. V'hach b'hach miflgi. If you want to understand the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon Elazar and Rabbi Nassan, it's as follows. Rabbi Shimon Elazar savar, ever katan de gadol, ve ever gadol de katan ben yomo, Kiadadininu. Rav Shimon Elazar holds that an Aver Katan of a Gadol, an Aver Gadol of a Katan Ben Yomo are one and the same. It's the same shear. Rabbi Nassan Savar, Aver Katan the Gadol in Aver Gadol Katan Ben Yomo, lo. That you're chayiv for carrying the amount of oil used on the small limb of an adult, but not on a large limb of a baby. So apparently they're not the same shear, meaning large limb of a baby is apparently smaller. So that's what they're arguing about. So my havi'ala, so what are we paskin at the end of the day? Do we paskin ever katan to katan, ever katan to gadol, ever gadol to katan? What is it? So tashima, we have a braisa. The tanya of Shimon Elazar Omer, shemen k'dei lasuch ever katan, shal katan ben yomo. That Rabbi Shimon Elazar says explicitly in a braisa, and apparently this means that we misunderstood just in the last explanation of Rabbi Shimon Elazar was wrong, because Rabbi Shimon Elazar we have explicitly in a braisa that he says that it's an Aver Katan of a Katan Ben Yomo, exactly like Rabbi Yanai. So the explanation of the Machlokes of Rabbi Shimon Elazar and Rabbi Nassan, where we said they both reject Rabbi Yanai, is not correct. Rabbi Shimon Elazar actually paskins like Rabbi Yanai, that it's based on the Aver Katan of a Katan Ben Yomo. The Netziv in Rome Sada says that an Aver Gadol de Katan, let's say the thigh of a Katan, so what's meaning, let's, instead of just referring to Aver Gadol de Katan, Aver Katan de Gadol, says in Netziv, let's get real for a second, let's just think about it for a second. We've seen Katanim, we've seen adults, so now what's the largest limb of a Katan is a thigh. The smallest limb of a Gadol is, let's say, the pinky, the tip of your pinky. So which is larger? No matter how small the baby is, the thigh of the baby is a lot bigger than your little pinky. So what are we even talking about over here? It's certainly way bigger than the etzba katana of an adam gadol. Remember that each finger has three evarim. Each joint makes a new aver. So it's there's no way, and even if it didn't, I mean, still the thigh of a baby is bigger than a person's finger. So he says no. But we're not talking about the size of the limbs. We're talking about the amount of oil needed to anoint those limbs. He says when you're dealing with an adult whose skin is not soft like a baby's skin, he needs way more sicha, he needs way more oil, because as opposed to a baby whose skin is so soft to begin with, doesn't need so much oil. And that's the machlokes, Rabbi Shimon Elazar and Rabbi Nassan in the Havamina, meaning on the top, when we had this Havamina, very strange machlokes. What did we think the machlokes was? That Rabbi Shimon Elazar holds an Aver Katan, the Gadol, and Aver Gadol, the Katan, are the same, and Rabbi Nassan says, no, they're not the same. We have a rule in general in learning that there's never a machlokes and metzias. And if there's any way that we could try to avoid making something machlokes and metzias, we try to avoid it. Because, as Rashi points out in Maseches Ksuvos, if there's a machlokes and metzias, that means somebody's wrong. And we like to believe, elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim, like the Gemara says, that both shitos in machlokes and tanaim and amoraim are correct on some level, they're correct in Torah. So how can if it's a machlokes and metzias, it is or it isn't, so then somebody's wrong. Somebody's just completely incorrect. And if somebody's wrong, then the Chorot shouldn't even be telling the Torah to learn their opinion. Right? It's completely wrong. So we'd rather not say things that are machlokes and metzias. So what exactly are they arguing? So it says in Netziv, it's not a machlokes in classic metzias of how big the Evarim are, but they're arguing whether what is a reasonable amount of oil to use for sicha of an Aver Katan de Gadol, of a person, of an adult's small limb, a pinky finger of a person. What is a reasonable amount of oil? Is the amount of oil you use for an Aver Gadol de Katan the same amount of oil that you use for an Aver Katan de Gadol? Do we assume that that's not a reasonable amount of oil? You have to do something to change it from machlokas, from the Chokes and Matthias, but and Siv points out, just on a practical level, that makes the most sense anyway. Okay, we're at the two dots now in Ayin Chesem and Aleph, about six lines into the page. Mayim kidei loshu penes akilor. So he said, what's the shear of Mayim for which a person is chayiv for carrying on Shabbos? So it's the amount that he uses to mix together with some sort of ointment, to some sort of medicine, to make an eye ointment, to heal something, some sort of problem in the eye. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, just generally speaking now, we have all these liquids, all these different shiurim, and they're all based on different things. So Michti, if a liquid has multiple uses, one use that's very common for it, and another use that's not quite as common for it. So the Rabbanon always, when determining the shear, the Rabbanon always went with the milsa de shchicha. They always went with that which is the more common use, and they said, okay, so that's its chashivus, and therefore if you carry that amount out on Shabbos, you're going to be chayiv. But what if it's a little more tricky than that? Shchicha u'shchicha, so what if you have two uses of a type of liquid and that has two very common uses? They're both equally common. So then which use do you follow? Do you follow the volume of one use or the volume that's normally used in the other use? So as the Rabbanon basar de shchicha l'chumra. So the Rabbanon always go with the more machmir of the two, the lesser of the two shiurim. So the Gemara is going to give examples of these cases. Yayin, take wine for instance. It could be used for two things. It could be used for drinking, or it could be used for refuah. But shtiyaso shchicha, refuaso lo shchicha. When you use it for drinking, that's the most common use. Using it for refuah is not the common use. When we say refuah, it doesn't mean drinking for refuah. We mean mixing it with something, with some sort of medicine. So it could be used for drinking, or it could be used for mixing with some sort of medicine. So, but the drinking is obviously the much more common use of wine. So azal rabbanon. So the Rabbanon will say, even though it would be a nice chumrah, even though the amount that you would use to make a medicine is a smaller amount, and therefore one might think, let's be machmir and not even allow someone to carry out a smaller amount of wine. No, that's an uncommon use. We only look at the common use. The common use is for drinking, so we follow the shear that's normally used for drinking. Right? That's how we had the rov harevius, a quarter of a revius based on the dilution rate. Wine is based on shtia, it's based on drinking. What about chalav? What about milk? Well, achilaso shchicha, refuaso lo shchicha. Milk is eating milk. It's interesting that he used the term achila and not shtia when it comes to milk. But eating milk is the common thing to do with milk. Refuaso, and again with milk, it's not shchiach, just like wine. It's not shchiach to make medication out of it. So we're going to follow the shear of achila when it comes to milk, because that's the more common thing. So even though a smaller amount of milk would be usable to make a refuah, but that's not what it's commonly used for, and therefore you're only chayiv for carrying out the larger amount of milk which you would use for shtia. Another example, third example, dvash. What about honey? So achilaso shchicha, refuaso shchicha. Dvash has two very common uses. To eat it is one very common use, but also to use it for refuah is very common. And you need a lot less of it for refuah than you do for shtia. So azar rabbanan basar refuaso l'chumra. So that's an example of two things that are both shchiach. So we go l'chumra. We take the smaller of the two shiurim, which is the amount of honey you would use for medicinal purposes. Good. So that's a chumra. You're chayiv for that. Elamayim, but he said the one thing that doesn't fit Abaye's rule over here is water. Michti, shtiyaso shchicha refuaso lo shchicha. We could probably all agree that it's much more common to drink water than it is to use water as refuah. So my time azul rabbanan basar refuaso l'chumra. So why is it when determining the shear of water, we didn't just say that the shear is however much water you would drink? Why did the Mishnah say that it's k'day lashuf behenes akilar? That's the amount of water that you would make with the kilar that you would use for the medicine. So it doesn't fit. So Amar Abaye has two answers. Answer number one, Amar Abaye beGalil Hashanu. We're talking about in the Galil. So what about the Galil? Zakt Rashi, Sheinaniyim u'makpidin b'davar mu'at, v'chasen al yayin v'chalav lashav kilar, v'in shafen al b'mayim. Vilkach rufwaso nam yishchicha u'binil mezal l'chumra. He says in Galil, they would never use anything but water to make this eye ointment, because they were very cheap, they were poor, and therefore they had to be cheap. They couldn't afford to use wine or milk or anything like that to make the kilar. They would only use water, and therefore water becomes something. It's not that it has two uses, that one shchiach, one is lo shchiach. No, both uses are shchiach in the Galil, and therefore you go with the one that's more chamer. So wait a second, in the Galil they used as much water to make ointment as they did for drinking? No, what Abaye is telling you is the definition of shchiach and lo shchiach is not how much of it is used for one use versus how much of it is used for the other use. The question is it unusual to use it for the other use? Meaning it's not, since it's not unusual at all to use water for the medicine, because it's all they would ever use for the medicine. medicine. That's the ingredient in the medicine. Obviously, not everyone needed the medicine, and everyone does need drinking water, but that's not the issue. We don't look at the volume of water used for one versus the other. They're both considered shchiach if that's a normal use for the item. So that's Abaye's answer. Rava Amar, afilu teva b'shar mekamos. Rava says, no, we could even be talking about outside of the Galil, where people will use other liquids also, or where people are not so poor that they couldn't use other liquids for the medicine. But Kiddush Shmuel, Damar Shmuel, Kol Shakyane, Masu Metalli, Levar Mimaya, Demasu Vla Metalli. All other liquids, yes, they'll help in the healing process, but they'll also blur your vision a little bit. They leave some sort of film over the eye. But water will heal and won't blur the vision. So therefore, it's what Rav is trying to say is that water is the preferred ingredient to be used in this medicine. So even though people could afford to use other things, they wouldn't want to use other things. They would want to use water, and that makes water shchi. Both for drinking and for the medicine, and if it's shchiach for both, so again we go back to the rule that we're that you're chayiv. Good. So that's the answer of Rava. Now the Arsameach in the 18th parak of Hilchos Shabbos says that mishum demayim rochtzin umezaknas akilor ve'as ha'ayin. He says that it also cleans out at the same time, and that's why it doesn't leave any crust. So he says, but wait a second, what about our point that you drink more water than you would use it for refuah? But he says, the way I mentioned before is, yeah, but it's still the primary ingredient that you're supposed to use for refuah. So the Arsameach says a little bit differently. He says, Rechitzas kolal yosu mishtia. He says, even though shtiyasu shchicha tfei mirefuah, you use more of it for drinking than you would for refuah, but Rechitzas kolal more than shtia. Rechitza includes more than drinking does. What does that mean? That who drinks water? Shazu eina ela bebal. Living beings drink water. Rechitza, what gets washed with water? Everything gets washed with water. People, animals, cups, plates, everything gets washed with cars, everything gets washed with water. So even though it's true, more water is drunk than used for anything else, but the way the Arsameach understands what Rav is teaching us is that the water not only is used as part of the, is used for medicinal reasons as part of the refuah, but as part of the refuah, it's also the post-wash. It also cleans off whatever medicine is there that's going to help you see better. So since it's part of the refuah, use of water is also washing, and washing is a very massive use of water, that's what makes it shchiach for refuah. So a little different than Rashi, the Arsameach understands. It's not that since it's so common, since it's the primary ingredient in a refuah, that makes it that raises it to the level of being just as common for refuah as it is for drinking. No, it's because when it's being used for refuah, it's also being used to wash, and washing is as chashuv as drinking, because washing is done on even more things than drinking is done. Drinking is only done by living things. Washing is done for everything. So that's how the Arsameach understands the Shita of Rava. Okay, so we're at the two dots now. Vishar in the middle of the page. Vishar kol mashkin b'revius. All other liquids of the shear is a revius. Tosla says it probably shouldn't be Vishar kol mashkin. I mean, it should be Vishar mashkin, not v'kol mine mashkin. He says kol mine mashkin, it's not true, is a revius. We just had a whole Mishnah that gave us all different sorts of shiurim for all different liquids. It means shar kol mashkin, whatever liquids we haven't mentioned. All the liquids that haven't been mentioned are b'revius. So Tanur about dam, yeah, this is the line that he changes. Dam, v'kol mine mashkin b'revius. Shouldn't be v'kol mine, it should be v'shar mine, Tosos points out. That blood and other, all the rest of the mine mashkin that haven't been mentioned in our Mishnah, have a shir of b'revius. Rabbi Shimon al-Azhar omer, dam, k'dei likchol ba'ayin achas. Blood would be the shear that you would use to apply to one eye. Shekin kochel in the varakas, because sometimes they'll apply to as a treatment for a speck on a person's eye, they'll apply that amount of dam. So maininhu, what kind of dam would they use to apply for a medicine for a speck on a person's eye? Dama de tarnagolas bra, the blood of a wild hen. Apparently the blood of a wild hen is therapeutic when a person has some sort of speck on their eye. From Shimon Leolomer, dam k'dei lichol bawayin achas, shekein kochel in the arut. He says, no, the reason why the amount of blood, the shear of blood, is the amount you would apply to one eye, is because that's how they treat a cataract. They would use blood to treat a cataract in the eye. Because normally, why would one eye be the determinant? Normally when you apply things to the eyes, it's on two eyes. So again, the first opinion was because it's used to treat a speck, and the second opinion is, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that it's used to treat a cataract. Umaynihu, what kind of blood do you use to treat a cataract? Dama de Korshtina, the blood of a mole. And the siman to remember what type of blood is used to treat what type of ailment is gav legav. The blood that comes from inside of a mole, is used to treat a cataract which is inside the eye. And bra lebra, the blood that comes from outside, from this wild hen which is outside, goes to treat an ailment that's outside, a speck on the outside of the person's eye. But when is all this said b'motzi? That's so all these shiurim are only if you would carry them out. But whenever you would put away any amount, even a smaller amount, if you would put it away and you would try to save it for later, so then even a kolshu, then you're showing that even a kolshu is chashuv to you if you're putting it away, and therefore you're going to be chayiv in carrying that. Rabbi Shimon Omer, b'medvar mur matznia av motzi enu chayiv el brevis. He says no, the opposite. All these shiurim are if you would put that amount away. But if you would not put that amount away, then the shear would automatically be a revius. And the Chacham were molded to Rabbi Shimon that if you have drain water that you carry into Rosh Hasharabim, the shear is a revius of drain water, that it's... that it's not, even if you're matznia, the chum will be molded to Rabbi Shimon that when you're not matznia, the shear is going to be revius. Amar mar. So what kind of contrast is that? We're saying when are all these shiurim given? That's if you carry them. But if you're matzniyah, if you put them away, then the shiur is kolshu. What do you mean if you put them away, the shiur is kolshu? If you put them away, you didn't carry them? Isn't the whole point of that we're talking about what you're chayiv for? Hotsa'a. So everything is motzi. What do you mean by medvar mum b'motzi? Every case is motzi. It's all talking about hotsa'a. So says the Gemara, what does this mean? Atu matzniyah, lav motziyu. What, the guy who's putting it away, he's not being motzi? He's also being motzi. So everything's about hotsa'a. So what kind of contrast is this? So Amar Abaye, hacha mayaskinan b'talmid sha'amar lo rabo, lechu paneli hamakam l'suda. We're dealing over here with the case of a Talmud whose master told him, whose Rebbe told him, Rashi says, we're not talking about a Talmud and a Rebbe in the classical sense, but shuli denagri, sha'amar lo rabo, a carpenter apprentice, let's say, who's learning a trade from his teacher, from his trade teacher, so he's learning a trade from him. So the master tells him, Lechu paneli amakam l'suda, go clear this place out for the meal. So halachu panelo davar chashuv l'kol chayiv ilavei. So if he takes something out, he removes something on Shabbos, that's a davar chashuv by every definition, so then it doesn't matter whether the master puts it away, doesn't put it away, likes to save this kind of thing, the kid's going to be chayiv for taking it out. Davar she'eino chashuv l'kol, but if it's something that's not necessarily chashuv in everybody's eyes, so I atzne a rabbe mechayiv ilavei. V'ilo lo mechayiv. It depends on how chashuv it is, not to the kid who's actually carrying it, but how chashuv it is to the master. If the master is someone who would be matznia this item, so then the kid is going to be chayiv for carrying it out. So Amar Mar, and this, by the way, is part of the idea we already had the shita earlier that chayiv zeh b'machshava social zeh, that the kid is going to be chayiv for carrying something that he doesn't think is chashuv, but the master thinks he's chashuv and he's acting on behalf of the master. The master thinks it's chashuv. That's enough to be mechayiv the kid, even though the master thinks it's chashuv. Shor Mitzvah Balachov here points out, why do we call it a rebbe and a talmud? As Rashi says, it's not about a rebbe and a talmud at all. So he says you do find this in a few places. Talmud etzel Rabbo in Psachim Daf Kuf Ches, whether Baya Seba or Lo Baya Seba, right? When do you, who needs a Seba in front of who? So over there also we say it's Bishuli Denagra. The term Talmud etzel Rabbo is also referring to a carpenter learning a trade. So it says probably based on the fact that the Gemara at the Mishnah at the very end of Sechs Kedushin tells us that it's a mitzvah to learn a trade, that a person is supposed to learn a trade. So we want to emphasize that it's really a mitzvah. It's not something that's only b'diavet or whatever. It's something that's a requirement. A person has to teach his child and try to pick a good one, try to pick one that's easy and that's clean, that you won't have to get your hands too dirty, not in a physical sense. We actually don't mind that. If you get your hands dirty in physical, that's fine. But in a, you know, not have to be dishonest or anything like that. So that's so it's a mitzvah to choose a proper trade. And apparently carpentry was a popular trade for Jews. It was a kalav nikia back then. I'm not saying it's not now, I don't know. Amar mar, modim chalim rabbi shimon, my wife's grandfather's a carpenter, I don't want to. Amar mar, modim chalim rabbi shimon, modim shov chalim rishus rabbim, shashirim b'raviyus. The chalim mar moda to rabbi shimon, that if you're modim shov chalim to rishus rabbim, if you take out drain water to rishus rabbim, that the shear is going to be raviyus. So shov chalim the maichazu, what are you going to do with drain water? What's it rotui for? Amar rabbi yirmir legabel ben esatit, to make a little cement out of. Vatanya tit kedei lasos ben pikur, but we decided that the shear of tit is kedelas ben pikur, which is a smaller shear than a revius of water would be needed for. So how could you say that the water, the shear of the shovchin water, is going to be a revius? That's what you're going to be chayev for. But the only thing you could use it for anyway is to make cement, and the shear of cement is actually a smaller shear than that. So it says Gemara, Lokasha, Hada Mikvel, Hada Lo Mikvel, Lefishein Adam Tareach Legabel Tit Lasos Pikur. That one is talking about when you're actually taking cement that's already been mixed. So yes, then the shear is very small. It's Kedei Lasos Pikur. But when you're taking out water which has not yet been mixed with cement, so then that tiny amount of water that you would use to make that tiny amount of cement is not chashav enough, because you would never mix that amount of cement. When you're making cement anyway, you'll take a little bit and the Lasos Pikur. And that's a very tiny amount. You'll carry that amount would be chashuv enough to have some sort of use. It would be worth carrying. But you wouldn't mix cement just for that purpose. Mixing cement is an avoda. You would only mix cement if you had a larger amount. So what's that larger amount? The larger amount is b'revius. So the revius of water, that's why the shear is the revius of water. Rav Zilberstein had an interesting shayla over here. He had a case where there was a dispute that came to a beis din in front of... with a landlord and a tenant. The tenant was trying to get out of a lease because he said that his apartment flooded because the pipes were so old that and rusty that they burst and his entire apartment flooded. And the landlord said, this tenant just got a job in another city and he wants out of his lease and he's trying to come up with any excuse. So he stuffed up his sink, he turned it on, and he flooded his own apartment, and he's claiming his apartment flooded. So they had to go, the basin had to go and test the water. They had to see, was it rusty? Was it, you know, just check the actual water to test it, to see what it was. So he said, Lu Yitzir, if someone from the basin was carrying this water on Shabbos, so what would be the shear? What would be the shear on Shabbos? Meaning just hypothetically, Shliach Beis the Nishlach LeBeisim to bring the water. Nishal Sashela Motzi Kol Shovchin Eilu B'Shabbos. Is someone going to be chayiv? So he said maybe you could argue based on our Gemara, Shear Otzah Shovchin is B'Revius. The Gemara says what can you use it for? Lasas Benas Hatit. Now nowadays we don't make cement in this way. So maybe you could so the shear is wide open. What is the shear? What I mean, it all depends. Like we keep on pointing out what the common uses are for our times. So he says the Chori is chayiv even on a kol shu over here, because the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Tzadi Amud Beis, the Rambam, kol shu nemru b'stam, but if you're hotzi l'zera o l'refua o chedoma, you're chayiv b'kol shu. If you have a specific purpose for this, and this little vial of water is all you need to do the testing, so then for you it's chashuv, and therefore you should be chayiv even on a kol shu. Or you could argue, no, maybe you're potter in this case because mlach shein sricha legufa. You don't need this water because you need this water. You need this water to find out what's inside of it. Maybe that's called, that's different than otzah in the Mishkan, which was where you needed the item itself that you were being motzi. So maybe that would be a little different. That would be mlach shein sricha legufa. Okay, new Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, more items that we have to discuss the shear of otzah on. Hamotzi Chevel Kedelasos Ozen Lekupa. A rope, how large of a rope are you chayiv for carrying? If it's large enough to make a handle for a basket. Gemi, reed grass, Kedelasos Talayi Lenuf of a Kavra. The amount that you would use to make a hanging strap a handle for a sifter or a sieve, which would be a very light amount of reed grass, because those things are very light kelim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, k'dei litel mimenu midas min al katan. Now they would also use reeds to measure their kids' feet. When you would want to go to the shoemaker to have shoes made, so instead of bringing the kid and having him behave while he waits online at the store and measuring the feet and whatever, so you would just measure the feet at home using a reed. It was like a tape measure. You would cut it at a certain point or mark it at a certain point, and you'd bring it to the shoemaker and say, "Here, this is the kid's size. Make him a shoe." So that's the amount. Niyar, paper, k'dei lichtov alav kesher mochsin. The amount that you would write a kesher mochsin on. What's a kesher mochsin? Rashi says when a person has to give a toll to go over a bridge or to pass a river, so the owner of the river, the one who's in charge of it, collects a toll. So if he's mochel you that toll, he would give you some sort of a note that would show that some sort of license that would show that your nimchal, that was your paperwork to show that you wouldn't have to pay it. So he would typically write two letters, two large Greek letters on it. So that's the size of paper that you're chayev for carrying out on Shabbos. V'amotzi kesher mochsin chayev. And if a person actually carries out a kesher mochsin on Shabbos, the tax collector's receipt on Shabbos, so then he's chayev. Niyar machuk, but what if it's paper that you can't actually write on? So it's not roy to write a kesher mochsin on, because it already had writing that was erased, so it's not clean enough to be able to write on it again. So k'dei lichroch al tzlochus katana shel paliaton, that it's the amount that you would use to cover. They would also use paper sometimes as a bottle cap. So it's the amount that you'd use as a bottle cap on a flask of oil. Or k'dei lasus kameya, how much leather are you chayef carrying out? The amount that you would use to make an amulet. Cloth, how much parchment? K'dei lichtov alav parsha katana shebetfilin shehi shema Yisrael, the amount that you would need to write the small parchment tefillin, which by the way is shema Yisrael. That's the small parchment of that's the smallest parsha in the tefillin. So this is a little bit difficult. Why would the Mishnah need to tell me this? Tosfos Maseches Sotah asks a different question. It says we want to pick the smallest parsha you would ever have a chiyuv to write, that the Torah ever says you have to write. So that's apparently what's going to determine cloth. So we assume the smallest parsha is Shema Yisrael and Tefillin. Tosfos Maseches Sotah says no. There's another ksiva of a parsha that you write on cloth, and that is Parsha Sota, which by the way is smaller than Shema Yisrael. So how come we don't say that the shear of cloth is the Parsha Sota? That should be the determinant of the shear of cloth. So he gives a few answers. First of all, Tosfos answers Parsha Sota is not Shchiach like Parsha's Tefillin is, and based on the rule of Abaye and Amar Aleph, Kol Milsa, anything that has a use, that wasn't only a rule for liquids, it was a rule for anything. If it has two uses, one that's Shchiach, one that's not Shchiach, thankfully Parsha Sota is not a Shchiach for the Jewish people as Tefillin is for the Jewish people, and therefore it would be considered not shchiach, and therefore wouldn't be the determinant in terms of the shear. Then he says yeshetir too. Tos says others are metarets. This Tos and Sotadav Yud Zayin Amar Aleph yeshetir too. That ain't a chinami. The number of the osios in the Parsha Sota is smaller, is a lesser number of letters than there is in Parsha Tefillin. But the number of the words in Parsha Sota is greater. So he says it would turn out to be roughly even anyhow. And then he says Ishe Yisrael, the not Tosos, but the Ishe Yisrael is Metarets a third answer, that Bizmana Mishnah they already were Mevatel the Parsha Sota. And as we've been saying all along, that it's all based on what the common usage is for that time in history. Okay, let's go weiter. So why, and Tos Yonta discuss why it has to say Shema Yisrael, why I don't know that already. Okay, Diyo k'dei lichtov bezosios, ink, the amount that you need to write two letters, chol k'dei licholai nachas, the eye makeup is the amount that you'd use to put on one eye, deve k'dei litin brosh shavshav, glue enough to put on one board, on the top of a board, the Gemara will explain what that's for, zephis v'gophers, pitch and sulfur, k'dei lasos nekev, to make a hole, shava k'dei litin al pi nekev katan, the amount of wax to fill a tiny hole, charasis, crushed brick, they last was pikur shel tzarfei zav, to make the pikur of the blacksmith's a part of the blacksmith's kalim for people who are goldsmiths. Rabbi Yehuda omer kedei lasos pitput, enough to make a tripod. Subin kedei lital pikur shel tzarfei zav. Sid kedei lasud katana shabbanos. I'm going to explain many of these in the Gemara. Sid is the is something that would is a hair removal type of system, so they would use it on the amount they would use, the smallest amount they would use on girls. Rabbi Yudomer k'day lasos kalkal, the amount that they would use to make the hair flat. Rabbi Nechemi Yomer k'day lasos lundapi, the amount they would smear on the forehead at one time. Okay, chevel nami l'chayv k'day lasos tzlayl enafel l'kavra. So it says, what's the smallest size of a rope for which a person is chayv for carrying on Shabbos? So we said it's the amount that we'd use to make a handle of a kupa, of a basket. Why such a large size? Why don't we say, like these, we said by the reeds, that for a reed it would be, if it's big enough to make a handle for even a sieve. So why don't we say the same thing by rope? What if a rope is big enough for a handle for a sieve, even if it's not big enough as a handle for a basket? Shouldn't you be chayiv? Says the Gemara, kivin d'charek b'mana lo avidinshi, that since it would cut into the kli, people wouldn't make it on the sieve. It wouldn't work well. Rope doesn't work well on a sieve. It works well on a basket. Tan Rabbanan, Hutzin k'dei lasos ozen l'sal k'fifa mitzras. The Brisa says that hutzin, a certain type of branches, of palm branches, are not the shear is the amount that you would make on a basket made of palm bark. Siv acherim amrim k'dei lasos al pi mishpach katan l'sanein es hayayin. Well, you would put on a small funnel to strain out the wine. Revav grease. The amount that you would smear under a small wafer. The kamash yura kisela, and what's that size? That size is the size of a sela. Vatanya kagrogros, but didn't we say that the shear is a grogros? Idividi chach yura, a sela and a grogros are the same shear. Muchin katan kidei lasos kado katana, the amount that you would make a small ball out of. The kamash yura, what's the shear of a small ball? Kaego, the size of an egg, the size of a certain type of nut. Niyar kidei lichtov lov keshamoksin. So we said in our Mishnah that how much paper are you chayiv carrying? The amount of paper that they would write the receipt for the toll. So Tana Kama Kesher Mochsin, how large is that? Shtei Osios, and on the side it says Biksav Yevani, two Greek letters, two large Greek letters. Or a minhu, but I'll ask you stira, motzi niyar chalakim yeshbo k'dei lichtov shtei osios chayivim lav pater. The Brisa says that a piece of paper, the determining shear is how much space you need to write two letters, not Greek letters, regular letters. Sounds like it's smaller than the shear for Greek letters. So Gemara has three answers. Amar, or two answers rather. Amar of Sheshas, my shtei osios, shtei osios shel kesher mochsin. When we say shtei osios in the Brisa, it means shtei osios, it means two Greek letters. It doesn't mean two regular letters. It just didn't say it, but that's what it meant. Rava Amar, shtei osios tidan, ubeis achiza, dahainu kesher mochsin. No, we'd have to have the size to write two of our regular size letters, plus a place, empty space where you could hold it. So that happens to be the equivalent of the kesher mochsin, which is the size to write two Greek letters. Meisvei amotzi niyar machlo kushtar perua, if a person carries out a parchment that had some a paper that had something erased on it, or a shtar perua, a shtar that was already paid up, im yesh beloven shelo kedei lichtov shtei osios, o bekulo kedei lichrach al pitzach skaran shel plaiton, chayev im lav pater. If it still has some use, meaning it has enough empty space that you could write two letters on it, or you could still use it as a bottle cap, so then you're going to be chayiv, but otherwise you're going to be pater. So bishlam rav sheishas tamar mai shtei osios shtei osios shel kesher mochsin shapir. So if you say shtei osios means the two Greek letters, so then that works out great. El rav damar shtei osios tidan ubeis achiza. But if rav holds that the shear is the amount of space you need to write two regular letters, plus you still need marginal space on top of that, dahainu kesher mochsin hacha beis achiza lo tzarech. But over here there is no, you don't need a beis achiza, because you could hold it by the place where the previous writing was. So how could you be chayiv? So how come you're chayiv over here by that same shear, the Beis Achisa shouldn't be taken into account. So Kasha, that's Taka Kasha on Rava's interpretation. Tan Rabban, we have a Braisa. Hamotzi Kasha Moksin Achelo Erei L'moch is Chayiv. If you haven't yet used your receipt to show it to the tax collector, you're going to be Chayiv, because now it's still Chashav to you, so you're Chayiv for carrying it out. Mishar Erei L'moch is Pater. Once you've already used it, so it has no use for you anyway, so then it's not a Dover Chashav for you, so then you're going to be Pater. Rabbi Hudomer, Af Mishar Erei L'moch is Chayiv, Reshat Tzarech Lo. Even after you've already shown it, you're still going to be chayiv because it's still something that you need. Mai benayu, what's the... No, normally mai benayu means what's the nafkamina. Over here, it also does mean. So Amar Abayi, the next mai benayu means something else. Amar Abayi, ikar benayu, rihiti muksa. What are they arguing about? They're arguing about if there are auditors that will come and check. If there are auditors that will come and check, it's still chashuv to you because you still need to show it to the auditors. But if there aren't auditors and come and check, then it's not chashuv to you after you've used it. Rava Amar Mochis Gadol Mochis Katan Ika Benayu, that they're arguing about whether there's another Mochis that you need to show it to. There's a boss and then there's a secondary guy that you need to show it to. Ravashi Amar Chan Mochis Ika Benayu, Meshat Tzorech Olaros Mochis Sheni, Domle Chazi Garva De Mochis Ana, that you may want to keep it around afterwards just to show to other people to say, look, the Mochis tax collectors like me, I'm a trustworthy person, I'm someone that's well connected. So even though you've already used it to save yourself from the payment, it's still going to be useful for you in the future. Okay, we'll pick up with the next price tomorrow.